Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
As the Spirit moves us, so we worship, so we live, so we act. I'm excited about this series and this opportunity to look at the ways that the Spirit moves us. As you'll read about in that little insert I pointed out in your bulletin, there are people who study the movement of our bodies and how, not just how we physically, muscularly move, but how our brains move and how our brains respond to rhythms and patterns in the world. And so there were some women, mostly, doing research into this, who discovered kind of four main energies or movements that people's bodies respond to and that people's brain patterns respond to. And then Marcia McPhee, who's kind of like a United Methodist worship planning rock star, who led a training here last November, and whose work we use a lot in our worship planning, she has taken that research and applied it to how we worship. To think about how the energy moves through our bodies, how different people respond in different ways in worship, how these are patterns that last not just for the hour or so that we're in here, but that we respond to throughout the week. And these patterns mean that we are going to be more at home in certain kinds of worship and certain moments in worship. And they actually inform or confirm or shape or challenge how we think about God. Now, these four patterns, we're going to get into one a week, as you can probably imagine, are the pattern of the movement or non-movement of hanging out, just being present. The pattern of the movement of shape, the formal ritual, the tradition, and the way that communicates an everlastingness, a steadfastness of God. The energy or the movement or the pattern of thrust that sends us straight out the back door of the sanctuary, out the front door of the church, and out into the community to go change the world, our worship just beginning as we leave the building, right? And today, the energy, the movement, the pattern of swing, which is all about movement and going with the flow and relationship. And we start here because, well, it's gathering day, and so we're all focused on relationship anyway and God's warm embrace. And we also start here because it's really easy to start where you're comfortable. And guess which pattern I am? People move by the energy of swing. Well, they're not known for being on time. Don't know if you've noticed that about me. They're not known for showing up on time or starting on time, and they're really not known for ending on time. Don't know if you've noticed that, because we get caught up in the energy and the movement of what's happening. If the Spirit says dance, we're going to dance. When we're singing a hymn, my fellow people who like to move to the energy, oh, we're just swaying back and forth. Can't keep our feet still, can't preach in one place, gotta walk around, gotta move around, didn't even tie my stole down today so that it's all flapping around. We love movement, we love relationship, we love to look into each other's eyes. We love a God who is a God of relationship, of movement, of interconnection, the God who is, as we sang at our hymn sing this morning, the Lord of the dance. And that dance is a dance of love and a dance of life. It is the movement of God's relationship with us, which we would describe as a sacred dance. And it is a movement that is not complete when it's just God dancing by God's self, or me dancing by myself, but that is made complete in the gathered body, because God is a God of relationship to those moved by the energy of swing. To those who blow with the wind of the Spirit, oh, we're not going to be symmetrical, and we're not going to be orderly. We do not make good high church people, although we can worship in that way sometimes. We make great prayer circle friends. We love to hold hands. We love to literally sing kumbaya. We love to move to the music that is being played or the music that we just hear. And we love to reach out in love to one another. So we've seen a little bit of that today in our music. We love that holy chaos of voices in song and of percussion and of movement. And we love that connection and relationship. That image of God like a shepherd. Now, the woman with the coins is great. I love that there's an image of a woman looking for coins. A woman who has 10 silver coins, that's pretty impressive in itself, right? And that's great, but you don't really have a relationship with a silver coin. But that a shepherd would have a relationship with a sheep, one sheep out of 100, that one. And that shepherd would leave the 99 sheep behind in search of that one. Jesus asks that question as if it's obvious what the answer is, but I'm not so sure it is. Jesus says, which one of you, like any one of you, if you had 100 sheep and one of them wandered away, which one of you wouldn't leave the 99 sheep behind and go after the one? And I'm thinking, wait a minute, maybe I wouldn't. I'm thinking there are a lot of people who wouldn't. I'm thinking that the needs of the many far outweigh the needs of the few or of the one sometimes, Spock fans. I'm thinking that our society often teaches us that we have to do what's good for the whole. We can't go after one lost sheep. Because while we're away, what if the wolves come and attack the 99 that are left behind? While we're sweeping our house looking for the one coin, what if we've put those other 9 in a safe place? Have you ever done that? You put something in a safe place so you know exactly where it is, and then what happens? You can't remember what safe place that was. What happens if you lose the other 9? What happens if those other 99 sheep are lost or scattered, or if they just feel abandoned by their shepherd? So Jesus asks this question as if everyone listening to him then and now agrees. Oh yeah, I'd leave 99 people behind. See ya. You're all good. You got yourselves taken care of. We've got to go find the one person who is lost and alone and afraid. And when we bring that one back, when we gather that one lost soul home, there will be tremendous rejoicing. Not only among the 99 that were waiting, but in the very firmament, in the presence of the angels. That is a God who cares for each one. A God who believes that the one sheep, in its uniqueness, in fact, in its own lostness, in the very fact that it is alone, that it is lost, that it is afraid, that one sheep needs God more than the 99 that are doing okay and are in safe pasture. That one person who is alone, who feels abandoned, who has wandered away on their own, but now is scared or lost or angry and bitter or whatever it is, needs us. And needs God, and that the herd, the flock, is not complete without each and every one. And the beauty of it is, it doesn't matter which one of the 100 it is. Could be you, could be you, could be me. Each one is so uniquely, vitally important that there is nothing God wouldn't risk to draw us back into relationship. People moved by the energy of swing, of relationship, of interconnection. We make great Methodists because we're all about that connection stuff, right? We make great singers because we're all about the movement, great dancers because we're all about the movement. We make great people in relationship, great shepherds and shepherdesses. We make great beloved community because we believe that we are following a God who gathers each one in, each one sacred, and we believe that that body, we, the body of Christ, right? We are not complete without each one. We believe that our church, our beloved community, our congregation gathered here today, it was not complete until you arrived. It was not complete until you arrived. And because that is the body of Christ, because that is the beloved community of God, in a way, God, yes, the God of the universe, God is incomplete without you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And every one of us. You even get your mind around that, right? That it is so important, each one. It's not about how many people we can pack into this room. It's gathering day. We want to pack 99 in here. Thank you very much. Maybe then some. But it's not about how many. It's about each and every one. Because relationship is about each unique one, beloved in God's sight, worth chasing down in the highways and byways until we are found and brought home. And so, in the spirit of relationship and interconnection, I want you to turn to somebody near you, and I want you to say, "Our church was not complete until you got here." Go ahead. Oh, look at you. I've got more instruction for you. That was only one sentence. Come on. Come on back now. All right. That went pretty well. I want you to turn to a different person, if you can find a different person that you didn't already talk to. Well, you might have to talk to the same person. I want you to turn to a different person. I want you to say, "I am not complete without you. I'm not complete without you." And once more with feeling, because this is the hard one to really imagine and to really get. Can you turn to someone and say, "God is not complete without you"? God is not complete without you. Some of you have to go find another person. You've talked to everybody around you. So maybe you won't believe it when I say it, but maybe you'll believe one another when you say it to each other. God needs you here. God needs you there in the world. God needs you in relationship with God and in relationship with God's people. We are not our whole selves without each other, and we are certainly not the body of Christ without one another, without each one. And all those people that can't be here today because they're traveling or something's come up and we miss them, that missing that unique person, we are not complete without them too. God is not complete. God's body, God's kingdom in the world is not complete until each is gathered in. Not because we need vast numbers to fulfill some sort of membership quota or requirement, but because each is precious in God's sight, and there is tremendous rejoicing in us, in the life of the world, and in the presence of God for each person who changes their heart and their life. We need one another, and God needs us. God calls us into community and into relationship with God. Will we respond?